What is up? Welcome into the first episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. My name is Herms. I'm the co-host of this brand new fantasy football show, talking about everything from redraft to dynasty, maybe a little bit of best ball here and there. And I am joined by my co-host, the excellent, intrepid, number one overall ranker in the 2024 Fantasy Pros Expert Consensus Rankings Contest, Tyler Orzynski. What is up, my dude?
Dude, thrilled to be here. Thrilled to get this podcast off the ground. Ever since months ago when I learned that you and I would be coming to FTN together, this was always kind of in the back of my head as somebody I've been close with in the space for years, somebody who I've done guest appearances with for years, have the opportunity to have a consistent podcast starting now, going through the season, and so on. Thrilled. Couldn't be happier.
Wow. Yeah, dude. Honestly, same. I was so thrilled to find out that we were going to get to goof around and have our own show together. Because like you said, we've known each other for a while. We've collabed before in the past. You're one of my bros in this industry, and it's just going to be so much fun. And it's nice to have a connection with somebody already so we don't have to like build a rapport from scratch.
It's nice. Oh, yeah. It makes it all easier. We can just jump in. We talk ball all the time. Now we just record it.
Exactly. So, hey, if you're going to, you know, be interested in learning about some fantasy football and also having some chuckles along the way, that's what we do because we have fun here. This is the Crossing Routes podcast. This episode, our debut episode, we are going to talk about some of our my guys, quote unquote. The dudes from this 2025 rookie class that you and I are finding ourselves drafting a lot of, having a lot of shares of, and we have some guys that kind of overlap, a couple players that maybe we don't agree on. So I think this is going to be a pretty interesting conversation. We'll take a quick break up top here, but as soon as we return, we will get into talking about our first player that we like from this rookie class. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to the Crossing Route podcast, baby! It is time to discuss one of our 2025 rookie my guys. This is somebody that you and I have talked quite a bit about, and I believe we both had as our top-ranked quarterback from this class.
Quarterback Jackson Dart from Ole Miss.
Now with the New York Giants. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you especially like about Mr. Dart?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that has been at the top of my list for a long time here. I mean, I've, as a guy who plays Campus Canton, who's a guy who plays college fantasy, Devy, you know, I've Jackson Dart's been one of the guys I've had my eyes on for a while here. And there's a lot of things I like about the guy. You know, he's got above average athleticism. He's got prototypical size. All he did was put up numbers in college. You know, I think the two things that really stick out to me, at least like from a fantasy lens here, don't want to oversimplify it, but at least kind of want to tell you where I'm at, is one, he can rush, right? He's not going to light the rushing game on fire like a Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts, but the dude can scoot, man. We're talking probably around like 35, 40 yards a game is what we saw him do in college. I would expect something similar at the NFL level, and we're able to kind of have that rushing floor going into every single week. That does a lot for fantasy. We love rushing quarterbacks in fantasy football. So the fact that he's probably, you know, when you look at the, you know, the top tier of quarterbacks, really it's just him and Cam Ward at this point in time, if we're being completely honest. Cam Ward doesn't rush. He's not a rusher. He's not going to get you much on the ground. Jackson Dart will. We really like that. And then one of the numbers, you know, I look at a lot of different metrics whenever I am kind of evaluating quarterbacks. And, you know, no single stat is perfect. There's no skeleton key around it. But adjusted yards per attempt, it's probably one of the better stats you can get for determining quarterback success. You usually want that number, that average, to be above 9. Dart hit that at 9.1. It's usually kind of like a checkbox for like, okay, this is good. He's checking a box that a lot of successful quarterbacks can check. So I think you just kind of look at the whole picture. You look at the tape, you look at the stats, you look at some of the more micro stats, the production. And he was just a guy that really rose to the top for me. And the price, Herms, is not bad.
Yeah, dude, I have really enjoyed the fact that he's typically available toward the end of the first round in a lot of these Superflex rookie drafts, but sometimes sneaks into the second round. It's not like a consensus thing that everybody thinks Jackson Dart has to be picked in the first round. It kind of reminds me a little bit of some of the values that we've gotten in recent years with players like Bo Nix or with Michael Penix or some of these guys that like we're either not super sure about or they're in situations where they're not going to start right away. But hey, when you're playing in a super flex dynasty league, the cheapest opportunity you're going to have to invest in a quarterback is as soon as they enter the league in the rookie draft. So like, you got to take these opportunities where you can take them, man. And also, just real quick, I went down to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama this year, and I got to see a lot of these prospects in person and kind of get a feel for them vibe-wise in person that way. And Jackson Dart, A, seemed like a really nice dude. He was always super polite to everybody. That definitely is a huge plus for me. Technically doesn't matter, but it matters to me. And then also, there were a lot of people who were like, well, he played out of shotgun pretty much all the time at Ole Miss. Is he going to be able to, you know, play from under center and do all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's like, first of all, like, you can teach people how to do stuff. Second of all, yes, he can. I watched him do it at practices a few days when we were down there, and it looked like he'd just been doing that on the regular as it is. So I don't have a lot of concerns. May take a while till we see him under center, but as soon as we do, it pays off. It's a wonderful choice, and I think that anybody would be lucky to draft Jackson Dart in this process. But speaking of Ole Miss, he had a college teammate that I know that you are a really big fan of, who is a wide receiver, Trey Harris, now with the Los Angeles Chargers. I've taken a few shares. I think he's pretty interesting, but I'm not entirely sure what his ultimate ceiling is, but this seems like somebody who's a little bit more up your alley than mine. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, a byproduct of watching a lot of Jackson Dart tape is you also get to see a lot of Trey Harris. I came away impressed. You know, he doesn't check, you know, those typical early breakout boxes that I think we've clinged to, or at least I've clinged to in the past. You know, I think the, you know, kind of transfer portal era has changed that a bit, how we evaluate, but, you know, wasn't a high recruit. He's transferred a bit. You know, he kind of had to really work his way into a real role. But then production finally came, and now so did the buzz. And so I think it was well-deserved where he got drafted. I mean, he's a physical outside wide receiver. He's got good size, you know, ball skills to win downfield, strong at the catch point. We'd love to see that, you know, fights through press, shows excellent body control and contested grabs. You know, he can get by defenders. I think what really sticks out to me is the landing spot just makes a lot of sense. I never was fooling myself into thinking that Trey Harris was going to be a first round pick. Did I kind of hope in the back of my mind that that would happen? Sure. But I was pretty fair being like, all right, it's not going to happen. Best case scenario is he goes, you know, not only a day two, but in the second round. We got to see that. That actually happened and went to a pretty great spot. He's going to the Chargers. Justin Herbert, great quarterback. Didn't really have anybody to pass the ball to besides Ladd McConkey. Put some respect on Ladd McConkey's name. I'm not going to say it's like a wide open wide receiver room, but there's plenty of space outside of Ladd for another wide receiver to step in. I think they've really wanted that to be Quentin Johnston for a while now. I think Quentin Johnston has gotten every opportunity to be that guy, and he's not. I truly think Trey Harris is a rip and replace for Quentin Johnston. I think he's going to be, you know, from the jump, he's going to be a starter. He's going to impress. He's a guy that I have been targeting at the beginning. I really like those beginning of the second picks because not only can you get Jackson Dart, but you can also get Trey Harris pretty easily. Jackson Dart's not always there, but at 201, 202, Trey Harris has been there in almost every single draft that I've been in, and that's exactly where I like to grab him. So for me, he's just a guy. It's a good landing spot, good draft capital, good offense. You know, I think going into this process pre-draft, he was my wide receiver 5. He sticks around that range right now. I just, you know, everything kind of fell into place for me to be like, all right, you know, I'm locked in. I was already kind of like waiting in the wings to totally jump totally in on Trey Harris, and all the boxes have been checked for me. He's a guy that I want in all my drafts. And frankly, he's a guy that I feel pretty comfortable drafting late in redraft even.
I think as we get closer to that time of year, I'm going to warm up to that idea. And I definitely like what you said about the team situation, because for as much as I wasn't entirely sure about his prospect profile, not anything crazy, but like, I mean, he did get banged up a little bit in college. He didn't meet like a ton of statistical thresholds I like to look for, but Quentin Johnston ain't it. He's definitely not going to be doing anything. So yeah, beyond Ladd McConkey, Justin Herbert kind of has to throw somewhere, and no offense to, you know, whatever tight end ends up emerging from this offense, but, you know, we're probably not going to be super interested in that guy. So if nothing else, he has the opportunity. There's really, I can't think of a better day two receiver opportunity than this one, than one that he ended up landing into. So yeah, I'm here for it. I'm definitely coming around. I'm hoping to pick up a few more shares as time goes along. That's two players. We got a couple more we'd like to talk about, but not before we take a quick break to talk about whatever product and or service is advertised. We are back. It is the Crossing Routes podcast. We are back to talk about some more football players. This is a guy he's a running back. We're going to change it up position-wise a little bit. Tre'Davious Henderson went to the New England Patriots. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about the landing spot, but I do kind of like the player. This is one where you're probably going to have to sell me a little bit on it, because I kind of like Ramondre Stevenson, man. It bothers me. I'm just going to put that out there before I hand it over to you. That's the big concern in my book. Overblowing that in my head? Am I right to be worried about that? Or I don't know.
I mean, for me, I'm not worried about Ramondre Stevenson. I think he's had a lot of opportunities to prove that he's going to be the future running back for the Patriots. And, you know, I wouldn't say he squandered them. He certainly had some moments that have been good. But I think it's pretty clear that there's a, kind of, I wouldn't say new regime here, I guess, for the Patriots. Like, things are shifting. The winds are changing. They're trending up. You know, Drake Maye's in the next year. They're improving the offensive line. They're at least trying to add some bodies for pass catchers. I can feel the Patriots' momentum moving forward here. Now, am I ready to proclaim here that the Pats are so back? I'm not sure, Herms. But I think the offense can be good enough for fantasy, right? And I'm not so sure that Ramondre is good enough to be able to hold somebody off with the talent and of caliber of Tre'Davious Henderson. Right. So he's a guy that I've been in since his freshman year. And I don't really hold it against players as much for early breakout, but I do really like it when players can break out early. I mean, the dude absolutely went to town his freshman year. I mean, it was over 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns as a freshman at Ohio State in the Big Ten. I mean, when I see a player do that, it captures my attention. And I honestly, I think Judkins transferred. There's other running backs there. He never fully got the move and the fully got the kind of workload that we're looking for. But I think he is good enough. And I think he does have the talent. I mean, in fact, I know he has the talent to go in and, you know, is he going to make Ramondre Stevenson completely useless ride the bench? No, I don't think Tre'Davious Henderson is a 75% snap type of running back. I'm not there yet, but I do think there's a world where we see maybe like a 55, maybe 60, percent split of snaps going Tre'Davious Henderson's way, definitely on the pass downs. I mean, I think like even Ramondre Stevenson fans can at least admit that Tre'Davious Henderson's probably going to get the pass down work, right? He's going to get that stuff. That's got to be pretty fair. But I do think that we're going to be surprised. I mean, I think it's like 15 touches a game is certainly not out of the realm of possibility here for Henderson. I just think he's too good to keep off the field. He's that kind of talent. It's tough because he's in a class with GNT and then Omarion Hampton. Like, listen, like going into this year, Henderson, I would have told you, is my number one running back in this class. Like, obviously, I've had a back off of that with GNT, but I do think that Tre'Davious Henderson, just in terms of talent-wise, is a lot closer to Hampton than people are giving him credit for. So, man, he's the guy that, like, it's clear there's, like, this top tier, right? We get GNT, at least in Superflex, we get GNT, Hampton, Tet, Travis Hunter, Cam Ward, Superflex, got to take Cam Ward there. But at 106, I mean, Tre'Davious Henderson, for me, has been an absolute no-brainer. I'm not considering any other player at that 106 spot, but Tre'Davious Henderson, and I'd even consider him at the 105 in certain teams.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially about the passing down part. I think that's something I've kind of overlooked. Ramondre is not exactly a super big threat there, and I don't think anybody's particularly scared of Antonio Gibson at this point, so that's probably not going to factor in very much either. But between the two Ohio State running backs, not going to lie, I've been taking Judkins over Henderson a little bit more. Like,
contentious. It's contentious. Yes, fair.
Yeah, especially because, I don't know, in Cleveland, it's very much his show. Like, no disrespect to Dylan Sampson. I know a lot of people are kind of hype about that, but there's not really any guarantee that anybody other than Judkins is going to get those touches. So I guess it really just comes down to, am I overplaying that in my head? Am I not valuing the pass catching enough? Especially because, I play in a lot of half PPR and predominantly full point PPR formats. Maybe I should just be caring about that a little bit more, because at least if we're just going to talk about the pass catching between Judkins and Henderson, I'm definitely going to say that Henderson has a bigger upside doing that. So I don't know. Maybe I just got too in my head about it. Maybe yeah. I am just overthinking this one.
I mean, they're back to back for me. So it's I'm not going to sit here and blast anyone for taking Judkins. I'll be taking Henderson over Judkins, 10 out of 10 times. But, that next pick right off the board, for me, is probably Judkins. I think I'd go Henderson and Judkins before I went Igbuka or any of the tight ends, especially Harvey and Caleb Johnson for sure. You know, I have concerns about the, you know, this is dynasty, so we're not supposed to look through, you know, kind of the short term, but I guess my concerns with the Browns offense could be a little longer term than most teams. And it's it's pass work. I think I really, when I talk about why I like Henderson, you know, I definitely think there's a world when Judkins does kind of struggle to get some of the pass work. I think Samson is, won't take his role, but I think Samson could kind of just be annoying enough in terms of getting the targets. And Jerome Ford is a fine running back, right? I mean, there's a world where do I think that Judkins and Samson are better than Ford? Absolutely. But the thing is, it doesn't matter what I think, Herms. It matters what the coaching staff thinks there. And Jerome Ford's been there for a bit. And they seem to wander, like, they don't want to always feature him, but out of injury, they feature him and seem okay doing so. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jerome Ford doesn't completely go away either. Is this going to be a three-headed monster? No, I'd expect Judkins to still get the majority here. But I worry about the kind of high-value touch situation. I expect the goal line stuff probably to go to Judkins. But, you know, is there a world where he just kind of, like, floats through the season, you know, gets 35 targets? And, you know, and that's a little bit of a concern for me. We want those high-value touches. That's the goal line. And that's the kind of passing work. And I really don't have any passing work projected for Judkins, and I got a lot of passing work projected to Henderson, and I just think that Henderson's got a little bit better that kind of like home run breakaway stuff than Judkins does, even though Judkins does have that in his arsenal.
Yeah, you know, I think you've sold me on this. You've definitely sold me on this. Like, yeah, there you go. See, perfect explanation. Love to see it. Love to hear it, folks. This is wonderful. Before we get into our last player, I just want to shout out a couple guys who are a little bit later round dart throws that I've been taking a ton of. First, Woody Marks, Houston Texans.
Agreed.
He's kind of the only like pass catcher type dude in that backfield. Like, Mixon has hands, don't get me wrong, but there's room for somebody like Woody Marks, who caught a lot of passes over his 5 years in college, 261 to be exact. So that's about 50 some annually. You know, like, this is a guy who was heavily utilized in that role in college, and we don't really see a lot of like huge volume pass catching backs come out of the college ranks all the time either. So I think that's a little bit telling. I think there's an interesting kind of profile that he's got there. And then another running back, Devin Neal, New Orleans Saints. He's the only player I actually got a chance to really say hi to and shake the hands with down in Mobile. And I'm also just not a really big believer in Kendre Miller as the RB2 there. I think that Neal has a chance to beat out for the role behind Alvin Kamara. And then Kyle Williams, New England Patriots wide receiver. I didn't really know a super ton much about him in the pre-draft process, but as I learned about him and really just took stock of the landing spot and the fact that nobody has to be good right away in New England is great. He can just take his time, build a rapport with Drake May. They have Stephon Diggs to be the guy right away. The world is not on Kyle Williams' shoulders. So if we're picking, you know, late second round, I don't think he's falling into the third at this point, but if he does for some reason, you got to smash that button. Any thoughts on any of those guys? Anybody you want to toss out before we get into our final subject?
I mean, I just released an article shout out over there at FTN today. We are recording this on a Monday. It came out this morning where I talked about my favorite dart throws. Dart throws are players after round two. I mean, third, mm-hmm. fourth, you're no better than a 10% hit rate in the third round. Sorry, folks who really think you could just draft every Puka Nacua out there. You got lucky, folks. In that article, I talked about Devin Neal. Big thing I said was he could beat out Kendre Miller and be the guy behind Alvin Kamara. I mean, I think the thing with Devin Neal and part of the reason he slipped to day three is, you know, he's good at everything, but he might not be great at a single thing at the NFL level, right? And I think that's just not going to show up on tape. I know the 40 was a little bit underwhelming, but I think he's smooth. He's efficient. I think he's exactly what you need in a backup running back, and I think he could easily find himself spelling Kamara as we go in here and be a, you know, pretty decent handcuff. And the Woody Marks, almost exact same reasoning, where I think he could beat out Damian Pierce to be the second guy there and probably get a little bit more because he could be getting that through the air. I also want to add that I think Woody Marks is an underrated pass protector too, which is going to matter to get on the field. Kyle Williams, I consider him like a second rounder, so I didn't write about him, but I'm agreeing with you at the very least there. I think, like, if we wanted to go a little bit deeper here, just kind of talk about this, like, kind of late third, early fourth, a guy you can almost always get, it's going to be Pat Bryant, Denver Broncos for me. The guy that I found myself kind of taking a lot of, just because, I mean, like, it's pick your poison, man. You're talking, you know, in the fourth round of picks, you just grab who you like. Man, I kind of like Pat Bryant. I mean, the Broncos have struggled to find a reliable wide receiver, too. That's just the fact. They've cycled through so many guys to play next to Sutton for a while now that just the door is open for somebody to be able to come in there and do it. You know, Bryant, the thing is, I think there's a legitimate shot that he could earn snaps early, although I'm not necessarily certain he's going to be able to do it this year just because I think he's got to get a little bit better. He's more of like a taxi squad guy. Again, this is like the fourth round, so we can wait a year. I think you just said it. Like, we can wait a little bit, but he's a physical, strong wide receiver. He can play through contact. He can win in contested situations. I think it's a good offense for him to kind of like thrive underneath. You know, I think he's more dependable. I think the word I would kind of like to put out there when I think about Pat Bryant is I think he's going to be a dependable wide receiver. So not expecting much into this year, but I do think that we go through this season and I don't expect any of those other names there in the Broncos to really break out, you know? So it's Sutton and who Pat Bryant has a real shot to be that guy, I believe in 2026.
Facts. That's a player I haven't taken a lot of shots on, but you've convinced me. I'm going to have to start doing that. I got to diversify a little bit more. I think I'm taking too many shots on the same guys over and over again. So I'll keep that in the back of my head for these next couple rookie drafts I got going on. But our last player, I just want to hop on my soapbox a little bit and take the lead on this one. Because for those of you who don't know, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So I'm just going to, I'm not using that as like, I'm not going to be a homer all the time, but I happen to really like the running back they drafted, Caleb Johnson. And I think he's a really good fit for the Arthur Smith offense. He's a pretty good complement to Jaylen Warren. I know a lot of people really want Jaylen Warren's season to just happen, but I don't, it's not going to happen, folks. It's you can't make fetch happen. And I worry that at this point, Jaylen Warren is becoming one of those fetch players that people are getting way too, you know, uppity about, but it's going to be some sort of committee. I think that it's going to be a lot of Caleb Johnson in the early down stuff. And when we saw him at Iowa, like, he's a big dude. He's got the power and he's also low key kind of speedy for a guy his size. Like, everybody, like, not everybody. There were certain people that were a little disappointed in his 40 time not being super high up there, but it is what it is, man. That archetype of running back, you don't necessarily need that in their skill set to be effective. So I look at how this offense operated with Najee Harris, a player that I really like, but he kind of lacked a little bit of explosion. He didn't have a lot of that kind of fluidity that Caleb Johnson brings to the table. So if you kind of like how the offense worked before, you're just going to like it even more now that they've upgraded on that lead guy in the committee. So I'm taking Caleb Johnson at the end of so many first rounds of these rookie drafts that I'm doing. Is he somebody that you've gotten a lot of?
I have not gotten a lot of him, but I certainly will be like drafting when I need him. I mean, 109, 110, that range. He is constantly a guy that's there for me. Like, I've had, when I have that pick, like the kind of 109, 110, I've been in situations where I've needed a tight end. So I found myself grabbing Loveland or Warren just out of, you know, necessity for my team, as I kind of like have them in the same tier of player. But I'm certainly here for Caleb Johnson, and I'm certainly not here for Jaylen Warren. He's one of those guys where I've never understood the hype. I think he is just, you know, another guy. He's fine. He is, yeah. He's a backup. He's a pass catching running back. I don't get it. I've never seen it. I've never understood it. And frankly, like, I think people who are in on Jaylen Warren are, they just got hopes and dreams, and that's basically what they can go off of, because he to me is just, he's decent, man. He deserves to be on an NFL roster, probably deserves to be a backup running back, but I mean, he's just not going to be a starter. And I think Caleb Johnson is, man. One of the things I always like to think about with Caleb Johnson, I think people kind of forget, is, you know, Iowa offense, he looked great. Thing is, defense knew what Iowa was going to do every single play. Every play they're running the damn rock. There's, I think he faced more stacked boxes than almost every single running back in this entire class. Certainly almost that, like, I can't remember the guy's name, but out of probably the top 20 running backs drafted, I think he was number one. Like, don't quote me on that. Somebody maybe on Twitter will call me out, but like, he's top two going against stacked boxes. Like, the guy who's above him is so irrelevant that it doesn't matter, I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, it's just like, they knew teams were like, well, we're going to just stack the box and stop Caleb Johnson because that's all Iowa's going to do. And guess what? He was still good. And it's good competition. Big Ten is no joke, man. So I think he's a good physical runner, good straight line speed. You know, I wouldn't say his lateral agility and creativity are like his strong suits, but I certainly think he's in the right system. Seriously, like to me, I was like, where's he going to go? He's in the right system to thrive. You know, am I going to say he's going to be an RB1 out the gun here, out the jump here for the Steeler? I mean, in the NFL and fantasy, like a top 12 fantasy running back? I don't think so. But I mean, drafting him in the back end of the first, I think he's a top 24 running back. I think he's going to be an RB2 for you. So with that said, man, I'm here for the Caleb Johnson hype. And I definitely, you know, I've drafted him, I think, once. I could have drafted him more if I needed to. And I tell other people, if you need a running back, man, take him over RJ Harvey.
Yeah, I'm definitely here for those vibes. I like Harvey a little bit, but I definitely prefer Caleb Johnson and that situation a little bit better. And look, not for nothing. I know this is kind of low-hanging fruit, and I'm not the first person to point this out, but Caleb Johnson already wore what is basically a Steelers uniform, because the Iowa Hawkeyes uniforms are basically just Steelers jerseys. So we know the aesthetics are already there.
I've been a Steeler for years. Yeah. In his heart, he's been a Steeler for years. They just had to draft him.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it was predetermined, predestined. This was always supposed to happen. I think anytime there's some sort of, you know, prophecy being fulfilled, you have to just be part of that vibe, be part of that wave, do whatever you got to do. That's going to wrap it up for this first episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. If you want some more of our perspectives on guys that we like in Dynasty rookie drafts, you can actually check out a 1QB mock that you and I both participated in on the website now. A bunch of other analyst friends of ours participated. You can see all the picks, all the, you know, different insights that we have into some of those moves on the FTNFantasy.com website. My name is Herms. His name is Tyler. We will talk to you all next week. Adios. Think about it before we come, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.